Ah, breath. It's so essential to life, isn't it? And so is food and water, these basic things that we need, right, to physically survive. But what about the rest of us? You know, what about the rest of our beings? What about spiritual food and living water? I think those are just as essential, and I bet most of you do too. So we're going to take a look at these ideas today of spiritual food, of living water, of what we're taking in. That we want to not just survive, but obviously we all want to thrive. This is why we're here. We were born to thrive, not just to sort of eke through life, right? So it begs the question then of consciousness. Consciousness is that term that we use a lot, kind of shorthand in spiritual circles. But basically what it means is just awareness, right? Consciousness is a sense of being aware. So spiritual consciousness then is spiritual awareness. It's a kind of spiritual knowing. So if we choose to put our attention on one thing versus another, something that is more hurtful or harmful or something that is more helpful and really feeds us, it's going to make all the difference in our consciousness, right? What we become aware of and how we think and feel and move about the world. So negative consciousness, Charles Fillmore, our co-founder, says this about it. He says negative consciousness is really just essentially a mind filled with ungodlike thoughts. He uses examples of fear and resentment and hate and anger and those kinds of things. When we fill our consciousness with those kinds of things, we put attention on those types of things, that's what we get back. That's what we experience. That's what our awareness is filled with, right? On the other hand, we can, you know, we can have a more positive experience, right? A more positive consciousness. We can fill our mind then with divine-like thoughts, God-like thoughts. We can have, you know, our rested attention on things like compassion and abundance and wholeness and upliftment and encouragement, health rather than sickness, and so on. So this is really essentially our third principle in unity, right? It's the co-creation of our world and our experiences based on how we think and how we feel. In classic unity language, we would call it thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. That's the law of mind action. So the law of what we hold in mind then is what we experience, how we act in the world, but also what we take in, what we experience in the world. Some people call that law of attraction. It's another aspect of this and a more popular term and maybe a little bit easier to grab a hold of. But basically, this is our idea of what we are constantly moving through the world with. This sort of, is it hurtful or is it helpful? And what am I taking in? And that's what I really want to look at today. Fillmore says this on that more positive side of consciousness. He says, to assure the continuity of spirit and soul and body as a whole, we must ever seek to incorporate divine ideas into the mind. He says a consciousness like this one is one where it places us in the stream of life that never fails. So it's that ongoing life, that sort of aliveness and thriving that we're talking about. It puts us in that stream when we put our attention on these kinds of places and allow ourselves the sense of wholeness, of spirit, of body, of mind. Now, we all know from being on the spiritual path for a long time, many of us, that, you know, mental junk in is truly like junk food, right? And so it doesn't prepare us for the world. It doesn't prepare us for the challenges that will come our way. And it doesn't exude a sense of joy, you know, it doesn't exude a kind of energy of joy. It kind of repels joy instead. When we are seeped in that kind of consciousness, when we're walking around thinking, you know, the sky is falling, it's not something that people are going to be attracted to, right? Hence the law of attraction. There's not a sense of attraction. Like attracts like thoughts, and like attracts like experiences and people around us. So there's going to be this kind of repulsion of life's joys and the kinds of things we might want to experience when we're steeped in that more negative kind of consciousness that Fillmore speaks of. So it's somebody like, if you think about Debbie Downer, for example, from Saturday Night Live, if you know her. If you don't, we're going to introduce you to her, and you'll get a sense of the kind of energy I'm talking about. So let's take a look.
Good morning. Welcome to the Mickey's Breakfast Jamboree. My name is William, and I'll be serving you today. You guys here on a special occasion?
Well, we're here on that new Magical Gatherings family package. Got the whole Matusik clan down from Ohio, right, guys? Say hi.
Hi!
Well, great. Let me tell you Mickey's specials today. We've got steak and eggs served with some home fries and Mickey waffles.
Woo! I love me some steak and eggs.
Ever since they found mad cow disease in the U.S., I'm not taking any chances. It can live in your body for years before it ravages your brain.
You're enjoying your day, everything's going your way, then along comes Debbie Downer. Always there to tell you about a new disease, a car accident or killer bees. You beg her to spare you, Debbie, please, but you can't stop Debbie Downer.
So Debbie needs some seriously spiritual, nutritious food, right? That's kind of the mode we get into, isn't it? All of us can have times of being sort of like Debbie Downer. And so we want to shift that, because it's not just the people around us, but it's also our inner experience, right? So looking at what will help us exude the kind of energy we want to exude, but also feel inside of ourselves a sense of joy and upliftment, peace and love, and those kinds of values that we hold. So I ask you to consider, what are you taking in? What kind of food are you taking into your consciousness these days? What are you feeding yourself? Are you feeding yourself violent movies and playing a lot of violent video games? Are you perhaps having arguments or taking in a lot of divisive news? Or, you know, that's an easy, it's an easy one to fall into. I know I can fall into that one. Reading disturbing news stories and then, you know, having that be fed into your consciousness. Are you engaging in maybe mean-spirited or anxiety-producing social media posts, by either posting them yourself or reading them or getting engaged in arguments in that way? You know, as I said before, the sky is not falling, but we all kind of become like Chicken Little if we keep intaking this kind of stuff into our consciousness. On the other hand, what are you taking in that feeds you, that really feeds your soul, that really, you know, nurtures the spirit within you? And so taking a look at that, maybe it's meditation, or it's maybe you have a daily devotional like the Daily Word that you read, or perhaps you're reading spiritual books and having spiritual discussions, or engaged in some classes. You know, there's so many different ways we can feed ourselves, right? Affirmative words, these kinds of things. Watching your favorite musicians, maybe some concerts. There's a lot of concerts online now that are available to us. Watching your favorite spiritual leaders, you know, giving messages and that kind of thing, either via live stream or video, maybe like you're doing right now, perhaps. Watching movies and programs that make you laugh or that stretch you to help you learn in some way. All of these things round out a sense of well-being and feed our consciousness so that we aren't starving our souls in any kind of way, that buoy us up and allow us to be prepared for anything that might come our way as a challenge, but also to let ourselves really savor the joys of life. So this, where we place our attention is really key. What's your intention? And then how are you paying attention? You know, how does that line up for you? I know for me, one of my intentions right now is to learn, is to help foster healing, particularly around the racial issues in our world, and also, you know, concerned about the environment. So how do we do that? How do we engage in those things, learn about the realities, and at the same time balance that sense of consciousness feeding that we need? And so it's really important that we weigh that for ourselves, and we see how can we take something in a way that is mindful. And we're going to really break that down a little bit later with a model. So one of the intentions that, as I mentioned, I hold for myself, and I bet a lot of you hold, is kind of this idea of fostering healing or expanding my own understanding. And it makes me think about the words of John Lewis that we talked about last week, where he, the early champions of the civil rights movement in the 60s, that they weren't reading necessarily politics and the Constitution, as he said. They were instead reading the scriptures, and they were looking to the religions of the world to fill themselves. They were asking, literally asking the question, what would Jesus do? And so it was that kind of infilling that allowed them to have the energy for the journey, that gave them the kind of fuel that they would need. We are far more effective at anything when we are well-fed spiritually, just like our body is more effective when it's well-fed physically, right? So yes, we need to know what's happening in the world, but to what level? You know, when is enough enough? And it's a process of us becoming clearer on that. When we get too full of that kind of information that is also fed to us from political and corporate sources for their own means, you know, we might need to just stop and ask ourselves, what about that other food? Maybe I need to infill with that spiritual food first, prioritize that food, and let this other be sort of a supplement. So in summary, we could say, let me satiate myself with spiritual food and supplement with other knowledge. That can help us maybe as a guideline for what we're ingesting, especially now during this pandemic. I know a lot of us are online more, and so these things that we're taking in are really an important piece of our journey. So Lynn Rossi is a health psychologist. She's a friend of Brenly's and mine. She's also the author of The Mindfulness-Based Eating Solution, and with her permission, she's allowed us to adapt her basics for mindful eating for this idea of what we take into our consciousness. So let's take a look at what the basics is all about. So the B is to breathe and belly check before you consume. So that's an obvious with food, right? But how about also with what we're consuming otherwise, what we're giving our minds? And so we take a moment to breathe and to go to that gut place and just to say, you know, what do I need? What is it that will fill me right now? Do I need to laugh? Do I need a little more joy? Do I need some upliftment, some encouragement, some inspiration or motivation? Do I need to expand my understanding? Do I need to, you know, whatever it is, your body will tell you. And so we're deciding which direction we're going here with this step, with breathing and belly checking, just checking in. The second step is assessing. So once we've decided, I'm going to watch this movie, or I'm going to read this book, or I'm going to do whatever you're going to do, you know, take a look at it, like really behold it, like you would behold a plate of food before you, and just get a sense of, you know, watch the trailer for the movie before you watch the movie, for example. Maybe peruse the book a little bit. What is appealing about it? Is it visually appealing? Is it, does it feel right? Does it, you know, what is working for you in this? You know, so just taking a moment to assess. And then as you begin to take it in, maybe just see, you know, was my first impression correct? You know, is this still where I want to be? Is this feeling like, yeah, this is the right direction? This is the thing I want to be taking in right now. You remember back in the day when there were video stores? There aren't many of those around anymore. But when we lived in Columbia, Missouri, there was a favorite video store that I had that had a lot of indie films and that kind of thing. And I would literally pray before I went in with the intention that I was going to find the movie that would feed my soul. And I would go around the store. People were watching, probably thought I was a little nuts. And I would just pick up the video and close my eyes for a minute and just say, is this going to feed my soul? And I found the most interesting films I wouldn't have found otherwise by doing this. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, it was right on the mark. Sometimes, you know how it is, we get what we need and we don't really see. It's like, well, that was an interesting one. But maybe there was something in that that we find later is very helpful to us to have experienced. So that assess is a part of this. And then we move into the S, which is slowing down. Slowing down is always a key thing, isn't it, on this spiritual journey, to just pause every so often, to slow down and to assess, have I taken in enough? Is this enough for now? Should I take a break? Is this enough of any one thing? And it helps us when we do that to know if we've taken enough, but also to then enjoy more fully what it is we're taking in, to be more aware. So we could press the pause button every so often in whatever it is we're taking in and consider, what did I just read? Or what did I just hear? Or what did I just watch? And if you're maybe viewing or reading together with somebody else, you could take a moment to say, how does that land for you? And to even have some interaction around something in particular so we're not just breezing through. The I, it leads us right into investigate. And she encourages us to investigate specifically partway through, like halfway through, whatever it is we're taking in. And in the case of Lynn's model, of course, it's halfway through a meal. But for us, it's halfway through the meal of whatever it is we're spiritually ingesting. And so about halfway through, we just reflect. You know, we really very directly say, am I at that satiation point? And so often that that time when we are full in when we're ingesting food is a lot sooner than when we stop. And it's the same, I think, for taking in other information, for taking in spiritual food. There may be a time when we just say, you know what, that actually feels good. That feels like enough. And we can actually stop ourselves. Brenly and I have actually abandoned movies midstream because they're not feeding both of us, and luckily we tend to agree, so that makes it really easy. But that is something to consider. You know, some of us are really goal-oriented, and I know I find myself when I'm reading at night often I do that. I'll think, well, I just want to finish the chapter, and there I am like nodding off and trying to finish the chapter. It's like, we don't have to finish it, right? What's the point of doing that? We're not going to really be taking it in. So letting ourselves stop when we're at that full point is really key. And the investigation really helps us with that. Our body mind will tell us if we simply check in. So the C is for chew thoroughly. And so this is really that taking it in, you know, letting the thing digest, letting our thoughts and feelings have some play, letting ourselves just really take it all in. You know, what does this feel like? What does this look like for me? What am I experiencing right now? So really letting that digest allows the usefulness of that spiritual food to be taken in. This is why I really love Eckhart Tolle. You know, he talks about in his books that the space between the words is more important than the words themselves. So one of his books that I really love is Stillness Speaks. And it has this, you feel when you slow down like that and you notice, and the writer has that intention, the reader can really tune into that intention. And so it becomes just these words that just fall into consciousness. And then we have an expansive space to really drink them in, to chew thoroughly, if you will. And then the S, the last one of this basics for mindful eating that we're applying to basics for spiritual food, for taking spiritual food, is savor. So to really savor what it is that we're taking in, to just really, Brenly and I mindfully ate a strawberry, each had a strawberry this morning. And, you know, after reading this and being reminded again of Lynn's work. And so that savoring is really a beautiful part of it. You know, you take note of everything, like the texture of something, the feel of something, the look of it. I was walking a couple days ago, and I found myself just sort of looking down, and I was walking to exercise, you know. And then I realized, wow, I'm just not even paying attention. So I stopped and I looked around, and the mountains all around our area, they're just so glorious, aren't they? The redwoods, the sky was gorgeous. And I was missing all of it because I was looking at my feet, basically. And so I just stopped. And then the rest of my walk, I would do that every so often. I would just stop and look all around and just really savor the beauty. And what a difference that walk was. Then it's not just like soldiering through whatever it is that we're doing, but it's like experiencing it fully in the present. So, you know, it matters what we take in, because what we consume and how we consume it can consume us, right? It can become us. There's an impression that is made on what we take in that is impressed inside of us. It's like if you consider how we are made of water, and the water crystals that make up that water are like what's going on inside of us when an impression is made inside of us. It's so the water crystal story, Dr. Masaru Emoto is the one who did the water experiments. You might remember this a while back, where he did these water experiments where they would take like a bottle of water and they put a label on it like love or thank you or I hate you, like you're seeing on the slides in front of you. And then they would, or they would gather around it as a group and they would speak those words to the water. And then they would take a small sample of that and get it down just to a single water crystal and take a photograph. And these are the photographs. This is what happened with love, the words love projected on the water. Thank you, and I hate you. Pretty incredible, isn't it? So that's what we're taking in. When we take in that kind of thing, we're making that kind of impression inside of us. We're made of water too, right? So there's this fluidity to our consciousness that is constantly getting an impression. I imagine that the living water that Jesus spoke of had these kinds of crystals in it, right? That love and thank you show the beauty of that kind of made up of life and love and peace and these kinds of things that have gorgeous water crystals. Do you remember that story? The living water is spoken of in the scriptures a few times, but probably most markedly for most of us, we remember that story of the Samaritan woman at the well with Jesus. And you know, they're just having a conversation, basically. That part of it is sort of unheard of, too, because she's a Samaritan and he's a Jew, and they don't mix at that time. And she's a woman and he's a man, and they don't mix midday like that at that time, just the two of them. And so there's all these sort of taboos that Jesus is just like, you know, he doesn't abide by them because he abides by the truth. He abides by the living water that says we're all one, we're all equals, we're all worthy. And so they're having this conversation at the well, and he asks for a drink. And she, of course, is happy to give him a drink. And he says, you know, if you knew the kind of water that I could give you, you would have asked me to give you water. And I would have given you living water, the kind of water that would never allow you to thirst again. Now, when Jesus is speaking like that, he's speaking as the Christ within all of us. Like the Christ within us can say the same thing to us. If you would just ask me for a drink of water, I'd give you the kind of water that is living, that's alive, that will feed you, that will make an impression upon you like those water crystals, and you won't ever thirst again. And so the woman says, show me the water. Where is it? I want some of that water. And of course, what Jesus is pointing to is the living water inside all of us. That's the place where we go, where that source is continuous. We never thirst because we carry it with us wherever we go. The thing is, we got to drop our buckets down, right? And go to that well and pull up that living water and allow ourselves to drink that in. Allow ourselves to drink of the truth of these kinds of things that are our true spiritual food and water and living water for us. That's what allows us to thrive. So we know all these truths, right? It's the choices that we make. It's the priorities that we make day after day that make a difference. We might think, well, I just let my, you know, it's okay. I haven't meditated in a week, but, you know, I've got this and that to do or whatever it is. But if that is a key way in which you receive insights, where you have a little expansion of mind, where your mind gets a break from all the information in the world, where you get a sense of and a reminder of who you are, and you get to taste some of this living water, then why would we even go a day without that? That's where we get thirsty, right? That's where we get hungry. So, you know, the living water is something that is so beautiful and has been sung about and talked about in so many different ways. But we came across this really beautiful song by Roger Tomhav and his friends. It's called Living Water. And so I invite you to drink this in.
From heaven, come every son and daughter, for you it has been given, for you it has been given. We have been alone and have hungered in the night. Continues with daylight. There is a bread that gives life to all the land. Eat it and be healed. Eat and understand.
So from which fountains shall we drink? Let's drink from those fountains of wisdom, of spiritual inspiration. Let's take in spiritual food. Let's allow ourselves to be filled by the living waters within ourselves. That's not very far to travel, right? To get there, to this place within, where the love lives, where the wisdom lives, where the life lives. And as we fill our consciousness with spiritual food and we tap this living water within ourselves, we can make our intentions affirmative. We can live our intentions. We can be paying attention to our intentions and have these things aligned. We can be lifting ourselves up and lifting our world up simply by keeping our spiritual practices. So let's make our intention affirmative together as we speak this truth. I drink from the fountains of spiritual inspiration. I consume spiritual food, and I fill my consciousness with thriving goodness. And so it is. Be full.